God that every day is a receiving day in our lives. Every day, the miraculous flows freely. Every day, we see healings. We hear about people having debt completely canceled. Hearing about people getting homes debt-free, land debt-free, buildings debt-free. Yes, I receive that, Lord. I'm believing, God, that marriages are restored, that lives or relationships are restored, prodigals are coming home. Not now. When? The Lord of the harvest is waiting on you and I to say yes to being the laborers, choosing to go forth. You know, as powerful as prayer is, people are not born again because of prayer. Don't throw nothing at me. That's what it is. We'll prove it out. We'll work through it. People are not born again because of prayer. People are born again because of the power of the gospel. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Yes, prayer is powerful. Don't go out there and misquote me. Pastor Freddie didn't say stop praying. In fact, prayer on Wednesday night is absolutely life-changing. Transformation is taking place every Wednesday night right here. So I completely believe in prayer. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, verses 14 through 17 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher, not a man or woman standing behind a pulpit. A believer who loves God enough to say something about him. Everyone, you look at somebody and say, what's up, preacher? You're a preacher. You are a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who just up and went. Just doing their own thing. We're talking about those who are sent. It goes on to say, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes how? And hearing by the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The incorruptible seed is the deposited how? Watch this. 1 Peter 1:23. The incorruptible seed is deposited through prayer. The word of God. True or not false? True. I'll give you a true or false scenario. The incorruptible, the ever-living seed is deposited through the word of God. Not prayer. Again, I'm not bashing prayer, even a little bit. But I want us to see why this church is rooted on the word of God. Why it's founded on the word of God. Because there will never be, the only chance we have is based on the word of God. That's it. Here's the thing. As far as your life, Your victorious living is not going to come any other way. It's going to be because of the word of God. It goes on to say, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The incorruptible seed brings ever-living harvest. We're talking about Lord of the harvest. That harvest can only come by way of the word of God. Prayer is very important. Again, I'm not bashing prayer. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Power resides in the word of God. The power you need for your business resides in the word of God. The power you need for your marriage, your family, your career resides in the word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Let's read that together. Ready? Read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Where is the power at? Power is in the word of God. Family, I am in encouraging you to depend on and rely on the word of God more than you've ever had. Begin to feed on the word of God more than you've ever had. Pray that God would send laborers. In fact, if you have somebody who you, in fact, let's raise your hand if you have somebody you are believing to be saved. There's somebody in your life you're believing to be saved. I want us to pay attention to what happens between now and the end of the month. Instead of praying for that individual, begin to pray for laborers to come across their path. And begin to attack the devil's strategy in their lives. You begin to bind the devil concerning his hold on him or her. His schemes, his strategies, and his attacks, and you begin to pray for laborers to come across their path, and let's see what God does. We don't ever need to ask the Lord to save so-and-so. Doesn't that sound wrong? Doesn't that sound bizarre? Like, I'm not supposed to pray for my brother to get saved? No. That could be shocking. That is a very harsh or radical statement. But what does the word of God say about God's will concerning salvation? Is it God's will for your brother, your sister, your cousin, your uncle to be saved? Absolutely. So we don't need to pray for them to be saved. We already know it's his will. We already know that 2 Peter 3:9 says that God doesn't want anybody to pray or perish, not even your loved one. So we know it's his will. So as you and I begin to call out laborers to come across their path, watch and see what God is going to do. Watch the way God begins to move. And the other thing I want you to start praying is, Lord, give me compassion for those around me. Give me compassion for those around me. Because somebody's brother, sister, cousin, uncle is already around you. There's already somebody around you who needs Jesus. Isn't that true? When we begin to shift our focus, when we begin to have a kingdom focus, things will change. You know, the atmosphere cannot remain the same when you and I choose to have a kingdom focus. It can't. It can't stay the same when we shift and we begin to focus on what he wants. What do we pray concerning others coming to the Lord? Lord, send laborers across their path. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. You know, the only enemy that we fight against is already defeated. It's a fixed fight. And if you don't know it's fixed, you will allow him to dictate the outcome of your life, of your loved one's life. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who the image of God, should shine on them. Begin to utilize this scripture, knowing that anyone who has yet to say yes to Jesus are simply blinded by the enemy. That's it. Because, you know why I can say that so boldly? Because if they knew how good God was, there's no way they wouldn't run to him. If they knew that it's his desire to heal them, to make them whole, to plug that hole in the middle of their heart that was caused by man, if they knew that, they would run. They would run to him. In fact, every hurt you've ever suffered, everything that has ever damaged you or scarred you was the enemy's way of getting your attention off of Jesus. Here's the deal. The Lord will never waste a hurt. He'll never waste a hurt. And everything that the enemy meant to turn around, make it for his good. So whatever you're going through, it's not enough to stop the love of God from healing you. Not enough. We have to choose, Lord, we're turning this over to you. There is somebody who is going to have an absolute testimony because of this shift in brand, this shift in Lord's sin labors. There will absolutely be a family member that falls in love with Jesus and comes, and you're going to hear about it this month. Absolutely, it will absolutely happen. We don't need to plead with God. We just simply need to become vessels to be used by him. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's go there. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 5. Family, it's about enhancing the kingdom of God. Amen? It's about multiplying the Messiah's work. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. We'll get back to the after these things. So that's significant. And sent them two by two. So wrap your head around this. The Lord sent out 35 teams of two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So the Lord sent out 35 teams of two to go before him in preparation of what he was about to do. Keep that in your head. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, here goes our assignment. What's it say? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into whose harvest? We know he's interested in it. We know it has value to him. It's his harvest. Verse 3 goes on to say, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Now, there's a whole lot to unpack there. But I want to start with this. Before there's a harvest, there is always a sending out. Before there's a harvest, a reaping, there's always a sending forth. Luke was the only gospel writer to record this sending forth of the 70s into the cities that Jesus himself would come to. Now, who is going to say, Lord, send me? Because without the sending forth, there's no harvest. Do you want a harvest? Four or five of us want a harvest. Does anybody else want a harvest? Okay, so if you want a harvest, please understand this. Sending forth is required. We'll talk about what that looks like. But can we agree that the harvest came after the sending forth? If we go back to Luke 10. One, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them. Then later on in the passage, we see that there was a harvest that was a result of that. Jesus had already given the 12 apostles the power to rule and reign over the serpents. He had already established his disciples. He already said, you know, I'm giving you the power. Now there is an expansion going on. These 35 teams of two was in addition to the authority that was already released. The reason why this is so important, family, is because God is desiring to expand. He is desiring that every one of your family members, that every need you have is taken care of. Every bill paid, every prayer answered, yes and amen. What will you send for? I believe this is so significant because if we're honest, it's been too long waiting on the harvest. It's been too long. Is there anybody else who's feeling like, wait a minute, I've been sowing seed, I've been standing and believing for years, and I'm still waiting for the harvest. Is there anybody else that feels that way? This message. And I'm here to announce that your wait is over. The Lord of the harvest is bringing in his harvest. And what is lacking is you and I saying, Lord, send the labor. Lord, if I'm making myself available to be a laborer, Lord, send the laborers. Lord, I come against the enemy. I come against his schemes, his strategies. And I pray that eyes are open, ears are open. I come against secular shades that have been blind in the eyes of the next generation. It's time for the harvest. It's time to begin to reap those things that you've been praying about, standing on, trusting God for. We're going to go back to the beginning of Luke 10, 1. And it says, after these things, the Lord, what does that word say? The Lord appointed. The Lord appointed. Let's make that plain. Who appointed? What? And here's the thing, family. Your assignment is backed by heaven. What the Lord has appointed you to do, Sylvia, all of heaven is backing you to make sure it comes into fruition. You are not without power. The Lord appointed. The reason why you said yes to Jesus is because it was your appointed time. And your yes included your assignment. So the appointment takes place, the sending out takes place, and then comes the harvest. And when you acknowledge, I am his. In fact, everybody stand to your feet and say, I am his. I am appointed by him. I'm choosing right now to go out because I'm sent. And right now, I boldly declare it's harvest time. Now give the Lord a shout. It is harvest time. You may be seated. I believe that is so significant because we have to identify where we are so we can get to where God is leading us. And again, shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produce sheep. God is looking at you to beget another sheep. What if every one of you, look around, what if every one of you discipled one person? First of all, let's establish, is that possible? What if every one of you who are watching disciple one person? What will happen in this place? Is that not God's plan? Each one, reach one. That's what discipleship is. No, our mandate is so simple. Teach people to know and follow Jesus. Can you do that? Absolutely. And this is what I'm asking of you. Disciple. One person. Begin to look around. Who is it that's in your life that needs discipling? Disciple one person. Will you do that? What has the Lord appointed you to do? What is your assignment? It's so very important. This is what we're needing to do now. This brings us to our next point. A fresh commitment. Luke 10 started with after these things. This was immediately after Jesus had been rejected. Jesus was rejected. We'll go look at that. Let's go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Jesus was rejected, and then verse 10 starts off, or chapter 10 starts off with after these things. So what he was talking about was after Jesus was rejected. Jesus encountered some people who for different reasons were not willing to commit. And my prayer is that you and I look at their example and say, no, not me. I'm not going out like that. In fact, look at somebody and say, I'm not going out like that. Luke chapter 9, we're going to skip down to verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Where are you guys going? Luke 9, 57 says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And notice it was crickets after that. Luke went on to the next person. So I want you to imagine that. There's somebody following Jesus. "Jesus, I'm with you, Lord. Lord, wherever you go." And he said, "Well, you know, I ain't got no place to lay my head." Then he turned around. That individual was nowhere to be seen. Luke went on to the next one. And he said, then he said to another, the other guy ghosted him, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. Let me first," somebody say first, "let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me," what's it say? "Let me first go and bid them farewell. I got some company at the house right now. Some people came into town unexpected, Lord. I just got to go let them know I'm on my way out. You know, I just got to let them know, and then I'm going to commit to you. Let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Family, hear this. Open your spirits and hear this. Don't look back. Why? Because you're not going that way. You're not going back. What purpose could there ever be in you looking back? Don't look back. Look at somebody and say, "Don't look back. You're not going that way. You are not going that way." Notice, their agendas were more important than the kingdom of God. And here's the thing, family. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. Any excuse that we allow our agenda to be more important than the kingdom of God cannot be a good excuse. It doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter how we reason. Well, Pastor, I gotta make some money. You know, I just got different things I gotta take care of. You know, I'm going to advance the kingdom, but first I'm gonna take care of my business. But first I'm gonna take care of my relative. But first I'm gonna take care of fill in the blank. Reason why that is so dangerous is because that is the opposite of Matthew 6:33. Here's the deal, family. The promise that's attached to Matthew 6:33 will leap over buildings, people, circumstances, situations, countries, and find its way to you if you say yes to making him the priority. When you and I choose to live by the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God, the fruit of the Word of God will always manifest. We will always have a harvest when we depend on the Word of God. Let me say this to you. Commitment will cost you something. It's true. Commitment will cost you. However, a fresh commitment will provide a fresh anointing. When you and I say, "Lord, I see it, I'm going to commit to your word first and foremost," you better make room, because the promise of the word, here's the, I'll believe the word of God over each and every one of you every single time. And the promise of the word of God is all things will be added to you. Not some things, not the things you earn, not the things you deserve, not the things you work hard for. All things will be added to you. When you and I make the kingdom of God first, all things will be added to us. And it's time for the harvest to manifest. It's time for sweatless victories to begin to manifest, to show up in our lives. It's time for things to show up that we didn't work for. It's time for things that we didn't earn to show up in our lives, because one day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. Depend on the word of God. Begin to expect a fresh anointing. Committing to the kingdom of God will always pay more than you spend. Always. The Lord, the harvest that the Lord adds to our lives will far outweigh every cost. Every cost. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Who has an interest in all things being added to them? Anybody? Anybody interested in all things being added? How about peace being added to you? How about joy being added to you? Comfort, security. What if you began to walk in all things? Every bill paid. What if your income was simply to give away? What if everything you earned, your chore was, okay, Lord, which ministry should I sow into this month? I don't know about you, but I'm believing God like that. I believe God. I have finances in my life to sow into the kingdom of God. I absolutely expect to one day sit up and say, okay, Lord, I see I got more than I could do anything with. I'm going to sow this over here. I'm going to sow this over there. Do you understand how much peace, joy? How many of you have ever experienced the joy of giving? Raise your hand if you experienced that. Isn't that an amazing feeling? What about you and I waking up every day full of joy because we're looking to be a blessing? Not praying for a blessing, but being a blessing. No, that's God's desire. God desires for you and I to be a vessel, to be a channel for heaven to flow through. And it doesn't matter what the need is, you're the answer. It doesn't matter. If you're the conduit to heaven, is there anything on earth that lack and deficit? You're the conduit. Listen to that. If you're the conduit to heaven, whatever heaven has, you can provide because you're a conduit. Family, that's kingdom business. That's what we're made for. Be willing to give up what feels familiar to receive something amazing. Make a decision right now. I'm willing to give up the familiar for the amazing. It's going to require a shift. Listen, family, there is there is an opportunity for you and I to just shift into a realm where we begin to function and flow in the supernatural every day. This is God's order. What he's asking of us is to partner with the Lord of the harvest today and prepare to live an extraordinary life. Make that decision. Decide, you know what? I'm just going to partner with the Lord of the harvest. I'm going to constantly pray, Lord, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. And if you want me to be a laborer, show me who, how, where, when. Show me, Lord. I'm committing to being a laborer, and I'm going to commit my life. My prayer life is going to be filled with, Lord, send laborers. There's a sense of urgency that needs to take place. You know, the time period we're reading about in Luke, it was only 6 months before the last Passover. It was about to be the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Time was running out, and there was still so much to do. And Jesus' strategy, understand, his strategy in that time was to send forth 35 teams of two to expand the reach, to have the laborers going into the harvest field, not just to be laborers, but to pray, Lord, send laborers. What will happen if you and I take on the same sense of urgency because of the latter times? It's real easy to see. Latter times, that's a real deal. I mean, y'all remember watching movies of the end times. And then it was, you know, some of them were pretty corny. There's some B movies. Now, you start watching some of those movies now, and you're like, Oh, that now it's a little more real. You begin to pay attention to any sort of end time teachings, and it's super easy to see, whoa, wait a minute. We are living in the end times. That there is no room for guessing. These are the latter days. Jesus was instructing his disciples to pray that others would be sent into the harvest. And because Jesus was sending them, the same anointing was available for them. Now, the context of the scripture and implies this. And it's easy to go with that understanding, because why would Jesus send them out powerless? Would he send them out powerless? Would he send them out if they weren't going to be effective? No. Let me help y'all. No. The fact that he sent them out means they had the same power that the original disciples had when he sent them out. That they were subject to the name. You have power to go forth and cause any and everything bow down under the name of Jesus. Our Lord wants people born again, healed, spirit-filled, and delivered more than we do, because it's his harvest. We need to recognize that God doesn't move without people. God doesn't move without people. John, let's go to John 15:4. I'm hoping you heard what I just said. God doesn't move without people. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." Verse 5 goes on to say, "I am the vine." Who's the vine? Jesus is the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Family, you'll never miss a move of God when you are abiding in the God of the move. It's impossible impossible for you to ever miss a move of God when you're abiding in the God of the move. God never moves without people. Raise your hands and say, Lord, here I am. I'm choosing right now to abide in you. And I thank you for abiding in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 17, 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. We should offer ourselves to be laborers on a daily basis. How can they believe when they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Be the vessel who is speaking language everywhere you go. Persecution and provision. Accepting your assignment comes with persecution, and you have to have the desire, then the structure, the fortitude to just persevere. It's going to come. How many of you have been persecuted already? There'll be more. Just make the decision to persevere. Those who cannot endure hardness will not be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. You see that in 2 Timothy 2:3. No matter how hard it is, when Jesus is with you, you can make it. That is such a revelation. Here's the deal. So what if you get thrown into the fire? If he's with you, so what if you got to sleep in the lion's den? If he is with you, it doesn't matter what the attack is. It doesn't matter what they're saying about you. If he's with you, you're going to be all right. True or not true? And you just committed. You just said he's abiding in you. You're choosing to abide in him. So guess what? It doesn't matter what comes against you. You're going to be all right. Jesus was telling those who represented him that they didn't have to provide for themselves. He said, don't take nothing with you. I'm sending you out 35 teams of two. You're going, hey, don't take that. Put that down. Don't take anything with you. I got you. What an amazing backing. Family. Don't stay up late giving yourself migraines and trying to figure it out. Use that energy to say, Lord, send forth labors into the harvest. Lord, I'm coming against the enemy. Take your hands off of my clients. Take your hands off of my patients. Take your hands off of my cousin, my nephew, my son, my daughter. Take your hands off. Labors, go forth in Jesus. Let him do the heavy lifting in your life. Amen? He would meet their needs because they said yes. Because you're saying yes, you can count on him. He's going to meet your needs way more than you ever could. The part where he said greet no one was apparently talking about focus. Don't lose focus. You go out. Stay focused. You commit to being the one who's advancing the kingdom. Then the latter part of the scripture says, extend peace. Say peace into this house. You extend peace everywhere you go. The Lord of the harvest has need of you. It's harvest time. Lord of the harvest is calling you, asking you to pray that laborers will go into his harvest field. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I invite the worship team to come up. I hear the Lord saying, will you accept your appointment? Will you obey me and be sent out? Will you participate in the harvest? Will you be a part of the great awakening? Will you choose to seek first my kingdom? Will you choose to trust me over your understanding? Will you choose to follow me when you don't know where we're going? Will you choose? Family, Jesus spoke in John chapter 8. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm asking you to choose to follow him. I'm asking you to be the light of the world. I'm asking you to choose to have life shining out of you so bright that people will interrupt you and say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, there's something about you. This is so possible. I'm asking you to choose today to pray to the Lord of the harvest. I'm asking you to get involved in the harvest. I'm asking you to shine and speak life. I'm asking you to abide in him. I'm asking you to seek him first. I'm asking you to accept your assignment. In fact, if that's you, if you accept your assignment, stand to your feet. Because of your boldness, I declare in the name of Jesus that your prayers will be heard and laborers are going to go forth on your behalf, first and foremost, to your family members, your loved ones. I prophesy over you right now because of your commitment to align yourself to the word of God and pray to the Lord of the harvest, your loved one is coming into the kingdom. Peace is going to reside in your home where there was no peace. Peace is going to reside in your home. Endurance is going to rise up on the inside of you like never before. Father, I pray for all these who are standing. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for supernatural favor on their lives. I thank you for the anointing being released right now. A tangible anointing flowing from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. I pray that hope rises up like never before. I thank you for the healing anointing that's flowing. Honey, I see a burning ball of fire in your right hand right now. That's the healing anointing. The very next person you touch will be healed instantly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your power. I come in agreement with everyone who is standing right now. Thank you, Lord, that their assignment is made crystal clear. There is an endowment from heaven. There is a power that is engulfing you right now. Supernatural eyes. You're going to see into the spirit like never before. You're going to hear the Father's voice, that still small voice, is getting louder. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for power. Thank you for utterance and anointing. Thank you for meeting every need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, they're coming home. They're coming home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
is His will for your loved ones. Your grace comes to the kingdom.
In our lives.
Thank you, Lord. You got to come right
across
the front.
So we pour out our praise.
Thank you, Lord.
We pour out our praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In our lives.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
As they're singing, I want you
so we
to imagine their faces. Imagine their faces. Imagine them with their hands held high, surrendering to God right now. Imagine your loved ones surrendering to God right now. Their hands stretched high.
We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Thank you, Lord.
So we pour out our praise to you, only it's your breath.
An amazing peace is gonna
in
come
our
over
lungs.
You.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our
because
lungs.
Because you stepped out.
So we pour out our praise
your faith
only.
To the word
it's
of God.
Your breath in our lungs. So we
you're gonna see them
pour out
come into the
praise,
kingdom of God.
Pour out our praise,
keep
your
their
breath
image
in our lungs.
In
so
your sight.
We pour out our praise to you only.
She's coming.
It's your breath.
He's coming.
In our lungs. So we pour
keep
out
that
our
image.
Praise.
Keep that image.
We pour out our praise.
Thank
it's
you, Lord.
Your breath.
Thank you, Lord.
In our lungs.
For sure.
So we pour out our praise to you.
The Lord
only.
Says, yes.
It's
for
your
sure.
breath in our lungs. So we pour
I come
out
against
our
doubt
praise.
Fear.
We pour out
right
our
now.
Praise to
the
your
Lord
breath
says, for sure.
In our lungs. So we
He's
pour
coming.
Out our praise
He's
to
coming.
You only.
You're standing
it's
proxy
your
right
breath.
Now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So we pour
I come in agreement right now
pour
in the mighty name of
Jesus
for peace,
in our
comfort, assurance.
So we pour out our praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. So we pour out our
thank
praise
you, Lord. You
only.
Thank you, Lord. Peace. Thank you, Lord.
Lungs.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
so
you, Lord.
We pour
peace.
Out our praise.
That's our path.
We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Thank
in
you,
our
Lord.
Lungs.
Assurance.
So we pour out our
coming
praise
into the kingdom.
It's your
it
breath.
Will be as you have seen. Says the Lord.
So
it has
praise,
already begun.
Praise,
it has already begun. Hearts already turning, bending, already reaching out. Labors have been sent on your behalf. Labors have been sent on your behalf. Oh, He's faithful. He loves you enough to manifest your request. Labors have been sent on your behalf on this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the manifestation of your promise. Thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your promise.
Yeah.